and welcome to Climate Queens. This is a podcast to raise awareness about the effect that we as humans are having on our shared planet and what we can do about it. We'll be covering everything from what even is global warming, fast fashion, the minefield that is recycling, and everything in between.
We are no experts. We are just two Dublin gals who met volunteering and have been best pals ever since. So who are we? Katie is obsessed with the outdoors, with a background in food marketing, but her ultimate passion is to save the world one step at a time with a cup of tea in hand.
You know me so well. And Clodagh is a plant-loving, social entrepreneur, climate activist, who is a big fan of hot beverages also, and sea swimming. So join us on the last Friday of every month to channel your inner climate queen. And don't forget your cup of tea.
Or coffee.
Welcome back, Clodagh here. We're so excited to be back in your ears, and we just want to touch base and get you guys a little mini episode during these tough times. So every Friday, myself and Katie have been posting some good news stories to kind of cheer us up, bring some joy into our lives. So we thought we would continue on this theme and hit you with our favorite good news stories of the last few months. So Katie, what have you got for me?
Well, firstly, hey Clodagh, over Zoom. This is new for us.
We are virtual queens now.
We sure are. Well, this is very exciting, and I think it's a great idea because I, for one, am finding the news very overwhelming at the moment. So instead of our usual format of here's some hard-hitting facts and solutions, we're like, here's just all of the good stuff. I think it's also fitting that my coffee cup this morning, and I didn't intend to do this, says enjoy the little things.
There you go. Isn't it is nice? The little things. Yeah. We have to take so much joy in our everyday now.
I know. And finding the good in the small things, which is just what you said.
Yeah. It's early in the morning, guys, okay?
Yeah, it's like, let's just keep saying the same thing in different ways.
So we both looked up three different news stories, and you're going to give us your first one.
So mine comes from my personal lockdown experience. So I moved back in with my parents for 2 months. I would love to say that I did this selflessly to, you know, help them out, but actually it was just a lovely space to study, and it was quiet, and they're both excellent cooks, and I benefited massively. But one thing that my dad loves to do is to feed the birds. When I moved back, he basically set up what I've been calling like a McDonald's drive-through for birds. So
takeaway service.
Seriously. And we have had so many birds in the back garden. And my dad has a book that is basically just all about birds that you can kind of look up. And so we're all there sitting at the dinner table facing out to our garden looking at these birds. But anyway, so my point being is that I have noticed in the morning that, and actually in the evening, the bird song just seems louder.
Oh my God.
And it's just brought so much joy to my ears. So I was looking it up, and I was also talking to my friends on Zoom about it, because that is the level of my news that I have for people. It's like, guys, did you hear the birds this morning? And one of my friends sent me an article basically saying that, yes, it seems like bird song is louder. However, it's not louder because they're just singing louder. It's louder because we're not as noisy, and we're actually listening and taking the time to listen. And also the fact that we don't have noise pollution, we don't have traffic in the morning, birds are actually just more prevalent and we can hear them. And what I thought was really interesting is that it's in the morning that birds sing, and it's their mating calls. So they're like, hey,
anybody?
Yeah. So what we're doing is, with our traffic and our noise pollution, we're getting in the way of that. So although technically the bird song isn't necessarily louder and there aren't more birds, perhaps there might be more birds now that they're actually able to like clearly shout and tweet anybody for the ride.
mating call, like, yeah.
So that's some good news.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've heard that people were like, the birds are finishing their bird song. And I was like, cool, but I didn't know what that meant. So, mm-hmm. It's great.
There you go.
Can I ask, do you guys have binoculars now? Are you like
Well, not quite. My dad's big into it, and my parents got up for the dawn chorus. You know, when you get up at 5 a.m. to listen to the birds. Yes,
so
the children went down. Oh, they are like in it. Whereas I'm just kind of, you know, I'm just appreciating it a little bit more and listening. And I also, well, based on my dad's knowledge, I'm kind of deciphering between the different bird song. And when I say deciphering, I mean I know one, and that is a blackbird, because they're so noticeable. Like, yeah. You would want, yeah, it's very clear. But yes, that's my first piece of good news. Oh, what about you?
So lovely. I'm gonna be listening out now. I'll be like, I wonder what that bird is, because I'm like that's a blackbird. That's a red robin. Like, I'm very basic with my bird knowledge, but
same.
I love it. Yeah. I have the bird feed out, so that's something.
That's very good.
Yeah. My first good news story is obviously to do with nature, but more to do with people and like the goodness of humanity. So it's a fundraiser that was set up. So, you know me, my history is not great. But famine happened in Ireland, obviously, over 170 years ago, so around 1845. And during that time, across the ocean, a Native American tribe called, now I'm probably saying this wrong, Choctaw maybe. So this tribe, out of the kindness of their hearts, pooled together money and sent relief to Ireland during this time. And even 3 years ago, there was a monument set up in steel in Cork by a local artist called Annex Penitex, and just to commemorate it, this mark of kindness, and really honouring the leaders, and they were invited for this grand unveiling. Anyway, sorry, fast forward to my good news story now. So last month, a GoFundMe was set up to kind of repay this kindness, because there's two tribes, the Hopi and the Navajo, I think, tribe, and they're in Oklahoma and are really hit with this pandemic right now. So they have like a high rate of infection. There's lack of running water. They've only a third of the homes have access to water. So like, think of how much we're washing our hands. So really, to kind of repay this, a token really to repay this gratitude, GoFundMe was set up. And I think, you know, they were like, let's see what we can get. And my God, whatever the Irish diaspora has delivered, it is nearly on $4 million.
What?
Yeah. Like, I couldn't get, like, everyone was just like, yeah, like, we can never actually repay you, because, you know, that was so long ago. But it was just such an amazing token of expression and gratitude and just solidarity, that this lovely full circle story that, like, it's not just the money, it's that, like, you thought of us when we, you know, you helped us.
When we were
us
struggling.
We need to extend this any way we can. And I just thought that was just so lovely in hard times that humanity is showing up.
Oh my gosh. No. Clodagh, I'm so glad that you mentioned that story, because I remember my dad told me about it last week or the week before, and he was genuinely getting emotional about it as just like human kind of connection. And yeah, and there's something about community and people's ability to just kind of give beyond their means, even when they're struggling, like, because of that, I think, you know, back kind of, is it
45 to 49.
Okay.
I looked that up. I was like, guys,
that is
we need to learn something today. There we go.
Like, that is an important piece of our history that I'm just like, is it between these dates? Yeah, sure. But I think they ended up donating, as in this Native American tribe, they donated, I think it was like the equivalent of €4,500, but that was just so much money to them and to us at that time.
Yeah, that's like thousands, do you know what I mean, now?
Oh my gosh, that's unbelievable. That gave me goosebumps, genuinely, when I heard about that. I was like, oh my God, human beings. I think that actually is a really good segue into my other good news. So this is kind of another thing of like good news coming from bad news. So I think so I think this kind of links into just kind of our fast fashion episode. So for anyone who's just listening for the first time, we have quite a few episodes that you can go back and listen to, but our very first one was on fast fashion, and, you know, learning about the journey of our clothes and who's actually linked to every garment, and with that is a garment worker normally in, you know, developing countries. One piece of news is that Debenhams, I don't know if you saw this, Clodagh. It looks like they've gone into liquidation, which is obviously really sad. And in a lot of instances, they won't open back up again. And with that, there's a lot of job losses, especially here in Ireland. And even though, you know, the Irish people here have lost their jobs, they have gone to the trouble to set up a GoFundMe page to raise money for their colleagues in Bangladesh.
Oh, yes.
And they've set their target to 10,000 euro. And the last time I checked, they were halfway there, so at 5,000. But for me, that's just another example of people who, they have lost their jobs. They are struggling. You know, they're probably experiencing one of the worst moments of their lives, yet they're able to think beyond that and think to people who don't have, you know, rights from their employers, who are really struggling. And it also just really hammers home that whole idea that, you know, there is a journey to everything that we consume, and there is a person behind everything that we consume. And, you know, I just thought that that was a beautiful thing to come of something that is terrible. It's just like human beings are just, you know, we not only have this capacity to adapt, which is something that I feel like we do need to talk about at some point, because it is unbelievable how we all have managed to just move things, change our routines, you know, just adapt. But we also have this capacity for kindness throughout all of this as well.
Unlimited.
Absolutely. So that was my other piece of kind of good news from bad news.
I really like that, because, you know, obviously the workers for Debenhams here, like shop floor, whatever, they could protest. But if you protest in Bangladesh, it's so unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely, you really have to speak up for people in those positions when they can't. So yeah. Yay. Oh, this is a great start to my day.
I hope it's a great start to yours.
What's my story? Okay, I looked up, I don't know, you might have seen this, but it's to do with flowers.
Nope.
It's a total segue. Okay. So there's a Dutch flower grower based in Kerry. Oh God, I'm getting the names today, guys. I'm so sorry for pronunciations. It's Jiska Healy. So she basically is a tulip farmer, and she was faced with dumping all of her tulips, because obviously the weather is warmer, the tulips are blooming faster. So she was like literally met with this huge supply, and the demand obviously was cut off. We're all in isolation. So instead of them going to waste, she contacted her local nursing home and was like, would you guys like some? And they were like, obviously, yes, fresh flowers, please. Because you think of like everyone is in isolation, and it's just such a lonely time, and the smallest things, we say, can brighten up your day. So they're all set to go, and then they realized, how is she going to get them there? It's not like, you know, so in Ireland, wherever you're listening might be different, but we started out with a 2 kilometer radius, so you could exercise within that. But if you say lived in the country, you could go a little further just for your food. But they couldn't really justify it, so they actually got in touch with the guards, who offered to step in as the delivery service, which I thought was very unusual and so like nice in a time of isolation. And, you know, these are really gorgeous flowers, and just to brighten up someone's day. And then they, like, there's a video, you can look it up, it's on our page. And it's literally of like people in a nursing home receiving these flowers, and just, you know, the excitement in the nursing home, even the guards coming to them. And I just thought it was just so lovely that, like, instead of going to compost, these flowers, you know, are having such a, not just a one-time use, because like, obviously they're cuffflowers, but I just thought that was so nice.
That is so nice. Oh my gosh. Yeah. That actually kind of melts my heart. To be honest, anything to do with kind of older people and brightening their day, and kind of people putting their arms around them, not literally, obviously.
Yeah, virtual hugs.
Virtual hugs at a distance, which is just weird that that's part of our language now. It's just bizarre. But that is absolutely lovely. But I have actually heard of the guards helping out with that kind of thing. So they are, so I
it's very unusual.
Yeah, I know. And there was this kind of kitchen opened up in Donegal, I believe, where they were just preparing kind of meals on wheels for the elderly in Donegal, and the guards helped out with delivering the meals to people's houses. Like, the guards really have been fantastic in all of this. Like, it must be so hard for them.
Yeah, sorry, this is not a plug. This is just randomly. It's like, I've never heard a good news guard story.
I know. I'm
like, okay.
I know, that's lovely.
Yeah, people are coming together in this time, so.
Absolutely. So my my third piece of good news. So this is linked to, I feel I always just manage to throw in something about food waste. It doesn't matter what we're talking about, I always just manage to bring it back. But I saw that there was a report published by the Waste and Resources Action Programme. So they're also known as WRAP in the UK. And it seems that people are just becoming kind of increasingly aware of the food that they're consuming and the food that they're also wasting. Mm-hmm. So the report basically stated that more than a third of the participants said that they're kind of enacting certain food saving behaviors. So, and more so now than before the lockdown, such as, you know, like they're checking what's in their cupboard, their fridge, their freezer before shopping, and they're making a list, because obviously you don't want to be spending as much time in the supermarket. You kind of want to get in and get out.
Gotta be honest. Yeah,
exactly. You know, people have said that they're making kind of more meals from random ingredients in their press. They're opting to cook more creatively with new recipes. They're saving leftovers for the next day. And I just thought this was really interesting, because I think in so many ways our consumption and our behaviors have changed and perhaps will change permanently. So it'll just be interesting to see,
yes,
you know, how this affects people. And I think, you know, if food waste is one of the things that people just become more aware of, that is obviously a good thing. And I think it's one of those things, like, nobody has ever wanted it to get to this point where we all have to kind of go, you know, and pause and just be like, wait, you know, what have I been doing? What am I spending my money on? What am I wasting? But I think it has given us the opportunity just to kind of look at our behaviors. So that's kind of just some good news. I don't know, have you noticed, Clodagh, in terms of just like, are you more aware of kind of food or like your consumption, yeah, or what has changed for you?
I'm trying to like streamline the house. I'm like, okay, now, what's like, what needs to be brought to the front, to the fridge? We need to eat that. But my friend recommended this app called Paprika.
Okay.
And it generates, so you'd like put in what you have and then it generates a recipe for you.
Genius.
And I was like, oh, hello. Cause I'm a divil. I'm like, I'll be like, I'll just throw this in. And then I'm like, well, that wasn't great. It's a hit and miss situation.
Like, oh, listen, I'll give it a go.
Sometimes I'm like, I'm a genius. Look at this. This tastes fucking delicious. And then other times I'm like, oh no, I'm so sorry. I just wasted
an hour. Good.
But no, I do like it. And I also found a cocktail generator. So yes. I've gotten into home cocktails. You don't need a shaker. You just need like an old like mason jar or whatever as your shaker. You just need ice. The key is shaking the ice. I'm telling you.
Oh my gosh, amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm on.
But I think you're right. We people are like reevaluating their buying habits, and you know, obviously people are still ordering online, but maybe they're not ordering as much, or you know, they're ordering what they actually need.
Yeah, so exactly.
Yeah. I had a chat with someone on Twitter yesterday. I was like, oh, consumption. Oh. It was more like, no, people are reevaluating. So that is really a positive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I looked up transport.
Ooh.
I looked up a transport thing because I'm kind of outside the city a bit. And I was like, oh, I obviously don't want to get a bus, but I'd love to like cycle into town. And I used to be really, like, I was a morning cycler. Can you believe it? A morning person?
Me?
Was I? But I used to like have a really good routine, and I just got really afraid. Like there was a lot of bike deaths in Ireland, and I don't know if wherever you're listening, you might have ghost bikes as well, and you're just cycling over a bridge and you see these commemorations and people have died, and it's just, you know, we don't have actual infrastructure laid out in Dublin here. So I just saw some lovely good news stories of people like really like reclaiming the streets, and people are cycling again. People feel comfortable because you have space to overtake, you know, because obviously you still need your 2 meter distance. But if you're on a bike in a tiny bike lane, with a load of potholes.
It's just not going to work out. It's
not going to work out. And then if you bring in all the traffic into town, not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I think it was in Brussels, they basically overnight, they just put in, they painted temporary bike lanes. And they woke up to this blissful situation where they could just cycle everywhere.
Oh everywhere. My gosh, that's genius.
Yeah, and I think the land did the same and they extended the pavement. So like, if you kind of, like, it's just a lovely opportunity to like reimagine what your city could look like and green your city and, you know, thinking about guerrilla gardening and like, imagine going down the street and be like, I'm just going to pick some berries at this bus stop because there's a tree. You know what I mean? Like, I just...
Dream.
I thought it was really a nice idea for people that we could actually, it's something tangible that we could actually do and take through when we come through this when, just no emphasis on the when we come through this pandemic, guys.
Yes.
Because it is a tough time for all. But I think, what was the thing I looked up? There's actually a legal action happening right now against the Liffey cycle. So if you're listening in Dublin, you're a cyclist, look this up, because there's a thing called the Dublin City Traders Alliance. I think you can check their Twitter page, but they're opposing the Liffey cycle, which would make it safe to cycle like literally in the heart of town. So I think they're just, you know, the dirty cars, they want the car space, which I understand, but things have to change now. And I think this is a really positive time to rethink everything.
Absolutely. So, I'm so
on your bike is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Get on your bike. Yeah. I know, I'm all for that. Because I actually only started cycling like a year ago and it is nerve-wracking, you know. And you do just kind of want that space and that confidence to get out there. So hopefully.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be on a bus right now. I mean, obviously some people have to, and but like if you can avoid it, do, you know?
I know. So my last piece of good news comes from a person that, Clodagh's like, what is happening here? From a person that we both really admire. And Clodagh messaged me last week and was like, literally said, the man himself. And I was like, what is she? What am I clicking into? But of course,
it wasn't spam.
It was the man himself. Sir David Attenborough, because you know it was his birthday last week, and I think that's great news that somebody like him is 94 and still here and still just waving the flag of goodness for our environment, for the ecosystems and animals and plants that are out there. So my good news is that David Attenborough is still alive.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, so it was like, his birthday on the 8th of May. Yeah.
Actually, he had a screening that we were going to go to last month.
Mm.
And it was like a live screening from London of his new film or a new documentary. God, I can't even remember now. I'm like, what is time?
I know. But I actually just looked up some facts about David Attenborough because I just thought that would be just an interesting thing.
To start your day, guys, if you're wherever you are.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't know if you've looked up pictures of David Attenborough from back in the day, but he is really handsome.
Handsome man.
He really is.
Yeah.
Because I've only known him as an elderly gentleman.
Dashing elderly gentleman.
Dashing.
Goodness.
Yeah. So, okay. So he was born on the 8th of May. He's the same age as the Queen. You believe? Yeah,
both 94. Queen, so you know.
I know. So, okay, this is a cool one. He is the only winner of a BAFTA for kind of documentaries and programs in black and white, color, and 3D. I'm like, dude, killing it.
David, if you're listening, we love you. You're not elderly. You're as young as you feel.
You're just doing a little shimmy.
Doing a little shimmy on the Zoom in the future.
Yeah. Whoop, whoop. Also, so what did I read here? Okay, so the UK have this polar research ship, and there was this whole poll about what they should name it, and the winning name was actually Boaty McBoatface.
Explain this to me, because I actually heard about this and I was like, no, that's not real.
Well, so I think it happened on Instagram maybe a couple of years ago. And there was a poll for like what they should call it. And
That has brightened my day.
I know, was Boaty McBoatface. But then they realized, okay, we can't have this like official, you know, research ship exploring the poles called Boaty McBoatface. So they actually just decided to name it after David Attenborough. And I'm like, listen, that is a really solid second option. So
it's called David, but like we know its nickname is Boaty McBoatface. Okay. Imagine putting that on your CV. What did you do? Well, I spent this time researching Boaty McBoatface.
I was part of the crew of, just doesn't really sound very official. There are, okay, this is really cool. There are at least 11 plants and animals named after David Attenborough. I'm like, imagine that. Like one of them is, okay, so this is part of the daisy family. It's called Horatium Attenboroughianum. I mean, come on. Like, they're just like, let's just throw. And then there's another one.
I'm looking all this up now after.
Maybe
we'll post some pictures.
So this is a prehistoric marine reptile. And they've called it the Attenboroughsaurus Coney Berry.
I am loving this.
Joking me. So yeah, there's so many. I'm not even going to go through all of them, but and then
I have to post that for people.
I know. And then there's just one final thing, which I just think is actually just kind of rude, but I got this from an article, and it says, in perhaps one of the greatest examples of hindsight making people seem utterly stupid, Attenborough's first boss at the BBC said this of the then fledging broadcaster: he could be a perfectly pleasant chap, might be a perfectly good producer, but he shouldn't be used again as an interviewer on camera because his teeth are too big.
Are you for real? Can you imagine being that producer now? I'm like, shit one.
I know. But yeah, so I just thought that there were some kind of hilarious facts about David Attenborough, other than the fact that he's been such a pivotal part of the environmental movement. And I think he's a voice of calm and reason.
Yes, he is very soothing.
And it's so funny. It just goes to show how much I love him, because as Clodagh knows, I've been finishing up my year one of my master's, a lot of essays, a lot of evenings, and my first evening free of essays involved me sitting down with my parents and making them do eco bricks with me, and then we sat down and watched an episode of Blue Planet 2.
I was gonna say, it has to be.
I'm like, that's my idea of an excellent evening.
you guys are an eco family. I love it. Family that eco bricks together. If you don't know what an eco brick is, by the way, it is, you know, your 2 liter like rigid plastic bottle, and you can actually put that, you know, that really annoying like crisp packet or cling film, all the soft plastic, and you stuff it up. Well, I don't know, do you stuff it or do you just pack it nicely?
So that is a good point you make, because my dad was definitely stuffing, but you should kind of like go gently and press it in.
Yeah.
And you can use like a chopstick or a wooden spoon. But if you want to know more, it's ecobrick.org, or you can also look at Sea Rescue Ireland, because they collect these eco bricks and they actually make furniture out of them. Like, it's actually just incredible.
I love this. I'm feeling like, yeah. Go planet.
I know. We're still okay. We can do this.
I think we're over time. I was like, we're going to do a mini episode. I'm like,
we're just going to be loving it. I know. But obviously there's more good news out there, but that's sort of mine. That's all yours, Clo?
Well, I actually did look up one more. I love that we're such sneaks, like three. Just do it.
Come on.
There's just been... Again, back to alcohol, but no, it's for good news. So loads of distilleries have like pivoted, and they've started turning the alcohol or making it available for hand sanitizers. I just thought that was like a lovely, like very early on, big brands and like lovely little brands like West Cork, Clonakilty Distillery, and there's another one called Missile Spirits. I don't know, Missile Distillery in Galway. They all pivoted for hand sanitizer for their local community and distribute to the elderly as well.
Amazing.
So I just thought that was like, there's just so many examples. People are showing up for each other, and it's totally okay to, like, you know, if you're having a bad day, just ride that wave. you know,
absolutely,
start again tomorrow and just be really kind and gentle to yourself if you're listening to this. There's no one right way to do anything. Mm-hmm. So I think that's definitely the takeaway for me from this. And just, I love the slow pace. Mm-hmm. I'm really enjoying slowing down, and obviously aware that I'm, you know, a very privileged position to have somewhere to live and to be able to slow down and rethink. But that's definitely what's something I'd like to keep going.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
In the next year, whenever we get to hug each other again.
I know, but
I do miss hugs. Do you miss hugs?
Oh, same.
Love a hug. I've been hugging pillows like nobody's business.
Oh my God, Claudia.
That sounds wrong. And my dog, he's good as well, but like.
I know, but dogs can only take so many hugs. I feel them. I'm just like, okay, enough's enough.
Yeah, they're very needy.
I know. But guys, thank you so much for listening and for being on this journey with us. Thank you for your patience as we figured all of this out ourselves. And thank you for everyone who's been messaging us on Instagram with kind of support and asking us, where are you guys? When are you coming back?
It's so nice.
Yeah. So, we're absolutely delighted to be able to do this again, even at a distance. And we'll hopefully be back to a more regular episode sharing situation. This is us signing off. But thanks so much, guys. And do be sure to kind of share our episodes with people because, you know, they're full of information and some good tips.
Yeah.
And positivity.
We love a good tip. Yeah. But let's say thank you to April, who has helped us adapt to the virtual Zoom. And hopefully the recording is okay in your ears. And we just want to say thank you, April.